Okay, we're gonna go ahead and get started here. I wanna make sure we can, this is gonna carry. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate you taking time out of a beautiful evening to come and listen to where we're at with the project and provide your input for either your personal needs or your business needs. Dempsey Thiemann has been on this project from the very beginning. He's the lead engineer for this. He began with the concept drawings back in 2011, and he is with his with Lisa Hoffman, who's been working on the NEPA process for us, and they're going to walk you through where we're at with the project and then solicit input and comments from you. We do have a call-in phone going, and so Dempsey will take a moment to pause natural breaks in the presentation to ask for comments or questions and give opportunity to those on the phone to do the same. So, Dempsey.
Thank you, Peggy. Thank you for attending, and both in person and the people we have on the phone. We have a sign-in at the back of the room and also some handouts of the presentation that we'll be going through tonight, and it's also available on the city's website for people that aren't here in town. Thanks. So we'll be going through the presentation, and as Peggy noted, we'll stop periodically if people have questions Peggy made the introductions. Myself, Dempsey Thiemann, Lisa Boffman, Alex West is not here today, but she'll be involved in the public comments and compiling that. We're planning another public involvement meeting later in the summer, probably July or so. So tonight we'll be first going over the background and status of the project, the conceptual plan for the project. We have some posters on the walls here in the room that I think most people observed, and we can take a look at those. And they're also in the presentation. We'll go through some design information and details of what we're planning to design the dock for as far as loading and vessel types. Implementation and phasing of the project. The proposed backfill material source, planned utilities at the project, the overall project schedule, permitting steps, where we are and where we'll be moving forward with permitting, and then the next steps for the project and moving forward. So we can have some comments as we pause periodically through the presentation, and at the end we'll also have another opportunity for questions and comments. So the overall project, we're replacing two aging pile supported docks, the timber supported dock position 3 and the steel pile and concrete deck surface of dock position 4. The dock face would be aligned with the existing Coast Guard dock on one side and aligned with the existing Unalaska Marine Center positions 5, 6, and 7 on the other side. Be a high capacity sheet pile dock with expanded back reach from what's available now, and would go deeper out into the water than position 3 does now. We're planning to have a container crane, utilities, cargo handling. The dock, the type of dock would be similar to that of the existing UMC sheet pile docks and the Coast Guard dock and several other high capacity docks in the area. One of the items we're trying to get some input on is the design vessels and the need for possibly increased water depth at the dock face to handle the future and larger class vessels. That's related to access into the Dutch Harbor area. The entrance channel has a fairly shallow section that would need to be dredged, but that's a separate project that's under consideration. So if that moves forward, then it would allow deeper draft vessels into the UMC area. So So right now we're the last bullet, the public involvement process. We're trying to, you know, with the approximately 10% design level, we've developed cost estimates and the drawings you've seen on the walls here. And we're looking for input from the public and the industry users to more accurately define the scope and define what makes the most sense for the facility. I mentioned we'll be having one, or planning an additional public meeting later in the summer, probably in July. We'll compile the public input from this meeting and compile that, make adjustments to the scope, and make in July a presentation of what we learned through that process, and then acquire additional input. So the current project status, we have completed the conceptual design and cost estimate, and part of that was to accurately understand the design and the cost was a geotechnical exploration. That's the soil, types of soil and stratification in the project area that affect the overall cost of the project, mainly for seismic stability. So that was completed about a year ago. The conceptual design and cost estimate, we're at approximately $49 million for the scope that's we've identified right now. And so that's, of course, that includes a contingency of about $8 million, mainly because the scope is not fully defined yet, and that'll be adjusted based on the public input and the as the project moves forward. The permitting, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer permit applications were submitted in March, and that process is moving forward. That'll take several months to complete, and there's a possibility of some extended permitting related to the endangered species that are in the Dutch Harbor area and that might be affected by the pile driving. We currently have some tasks in progress, progressing the preliminary design further and planning that we're talking about now, refining the cost estimates, the public involvement, continuing the permitting support, and the IHA, which is related to the endangered species. It's an incidental harassment authorization to allow the project to construction to move forward with minimal delays related to nearby sea otters or sea lions that might be in the area. So that's a part of the permitting that's in progress now. We're doing marine mammal observations, trying to identify how many of the animals might be in the area and how much of an effect that might have on the project. We have upland survey and bathymetry planned in May or June. That'll be becoming one of trying to do the bathymetry during good weather with to minimize delays there. And we're planning to do a condition assessment of the existing warehouse at that sits behind dock position 4, because part of the scope of the project might involve either relocation or changes to that warehouse. We want to understand the current condition of it. Any questions so far on the background or status that anybody has? Okay. This is a site plan of how we envision the project. You can see in the shaded area of the blue is the new project, and shaded behind that you can see the photograph of the existing docks. So dock position 4 we're basically keeping that alignment, but then at the transition between position 4 and position 3 is where we will change the alignment to be with the Coast Guard dock. Other parts of the project, we have a rock quarry that would be used to provide the fill for the project. This is within the city's property boundary. So the uplands are the city's ownership. The subsurface rights are the Aleut Corporation. So we'd work out the agreement for royalty on the material if this quarry is used. There's also an option to utilize a quarry from an alternate source that the contractor might provide that wouldn't provide the flat usable lands that could possibly be used for an office building that's shown here. Because everyone knows the flat usable land in the Unalaska area is a premium, so it would be a benefit to the project to provide flat area for development. We're planning to extend the crane rails from the existing UMC positions onto position 4, not onto position 3. It is possible to do that. We've done some research. You can go around a gentle radius bend like that, but we thought it would be serve the needs of the project by just extending the existing crane rails. So the front rail would be extended into the new part of the project, and we have an option of either extending the existing 50-foot crane rail into the project and utilizing the same or similar 50-foot gauge crane, or installing a new crane rail back behind at a 100-foot gauge, which is the newer technology and newer capacity of container crane for the larger vessels if those seem to be likely to come to port. Those larger vessels are shown in this image as well. The dark outlined vessel is the Panamax size vessel, which is the class of vessels that currently are served by the port. The post-Panamax are shown, which are about the same length, but I think about 40 feet wider. And then the new Panamax is the largest vessel, and that's wider still and longer still. So the wider the vessel, the wider vessels need the larger container crane in order to reach further over and handle those containers. Even some of the current vessels, the Panamax class vessels, if they have containers on the far side, some of them can't be reached by the 50-foot container crane, so they have to, if they need to handle those, the vessel has to turn around and come to the other side, to the dock. So those are some of the considerations that we'd like input on how much of a priority is it to have the 50-foot versus 100-foot crane rails. So we'll be hoping to get that later tonight. Other aspects of the projects that are shown, I mentioned the existing warehouse, which is right here, which if we do extend 100-foot crane rails, it will conflict with those crane rails and would have to be at least modified or probably relocated. We have a potential for a freight handling facility or cargo loading facility here, where vessels could offload cargo and load into container vans, and then that's a truck loading facility there with a forklift ramp. There's also been possible discussion of a cold storage facility. So really what we're looking for is input for the project on what makes the most sense. Any questions on the overall plan? Yes. Yeah. Yep, that's very good. That's on the next slide, actually. We are planning, that's one of the items that we want input on is fuel. Well, all the utilities, actually. Fuel being one of the major ones. We're planning, there's already a fuel header, I think two fuel headers in this location on the existing UMC facility. And we'd plan at least one more fuel header about the midpoint of the dock, and possibly further down if that makes sense to have an additional one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Omicron or one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's two there, right? Delta Western.
Delta Western mm-hmm. and North Pacific.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have 254 including the one in North Pacific.
Okay. And so with the new configuration of the dock, we'd definitely like to get input on, you know, where is the best location for the fuel headers, and, you know, where, how many fuel providers do we want to provide for at the facility, and then also we have to balance that with how does that affect the other activities on the dock. We certainly want to provide fuel, but you know, if it conflicts with, say, you know, the crane rail or other operations, we'll have to strategically locate those. So you're saying you definitely want to have fuel, yeah, a couple on position three area. Yeah. Okay. So for our discussions, we can consider this part of the new dock, position four, and this part in the position three.
So what's the largest vessel, you know, container ship that you're talking about here?
We'll get to that in just a minute. As far as length, yeah. Well, the we've ended the vessel here at the break in the dock face, and that largest vessel is 1,200 feet long.
How long is that?
Feet on the existing. Okay. 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 I think the existing dock is about 750 feet of dock or so. So we'll be adding in that same alignment another 220 feet before we make the angle break to line up with the Coast Guard dock, where we'll be adding about 390 feet. That makes sense? Yeah, and we do have that broken out separately. Of, you're talking about the crane rail on the existing dock versus crane rails on the new dock.
Right.
That, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what we have right now in the cost estimate is for a new crane rail at 100-foot gauge, or it could replace the existing 50-foot. I don't think we need to replace the existing 50-foot. So if we didn't put a 100-foot gauge crane rail on the existing dock, then that cost would, you know, we wouldn't do that part of the work. Yeah, I can, I have it here. I can get it a little bit later. We can talk about it. From here? Oh, yeah, the distance there, from here to there. Well, this is 100 feet. This blue area is 100 feet wide, if that helps. So, as far as, you know, the length there, that's probably about 75 feet or so. 80 feet, maybe. And our plan there was to, that could be a removable ramp if it needs to be, or that was the thought. So it could be relocated if needed.
So whenever
yeah.
Make sure they're down in the water so you can get their feet on.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think the ladders you're talking about are earlier versions, and the newer ones go,
right.
I think, about 6 feet below the lowest water, low tide level, so that you could get your feet on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing about. Also, if the ship is not against the
what we've done on some projects, we have a ladder, safety ladder in the fender, which is what's there now. But in addition to that, kind of behind the fenders or between the fenders, is another ladder. For if someone, you know, falls in the water, that they can climb up and they're not having to go up between the vessel and the fender. It's a safety ladder. Questions so far? Or I guess, go ahead.
Are you guys planning on doing any?
As far as repairing the surfacing?
No.
Or?
I watched a dump truck, Quincy, was backing up under here, and I mean, you've heard of the term driving on springs. Yeah, and I'd heard about it, I'd never seen it until that time. You know, about all this rock was good for us, future sand. So, there's probably some way with acoustic sounding or something like that, you can discover voids under there, but there's no way that it hasn't settled. I watched it settle. There's a concrete vault right about here, and they had to keep backfilling it because it kept settling. You know, my guess is that I noticed it probably settled a foot or better, and so we've got all the vibration from all the heavy equipment. Just wondering if they. Resurfacing doesn't do anything if what's underneath is bad.
Yeah, we have a few.
Yes.
Supporting parts. There are some not fully supported.
There's like a little walkway that goes across the open area between the ladder and the dock. And on the back side of the ladder, it would be completely clear of the ship.
Through the deck you're talking about?
Yeah, because right now we have like a little metal.
Okay, yeah, we'll look at improving the ladder access. And getting just back to your point, the you know, settlement of the fill, that's, you know, the fill's been there for what, about 25 years. Every time you have a seismic event, you know, everything settles a little bit, so it's not, you know, and the heavy use from the forklifts and all that.
Just to let you know that, you know, if somebody that's worked on that docks and
right. Yeah.
Are you gonna?
But we were at this time planning that if you had some, you know, input or improvements that you were looking for. Or better line guards to slide up over the
we need something that's round degree surface, especially with what we call sinkers or that keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's
we're generally planning the you know, the same configuration of fenders. Some of it'll be dependent on the design vessel and all that, but you know, I think the fenders that have been reconstructed them a year or two ago, and they served for quite a while pretty well, I think.
Yeah,
we
I because of the way ships hit them.
Yeah.
If, you know, if we could get, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so a line will go over without
the line will go
getting
over.
Caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
The cyclone overview shows the existing warehouse and one dock and moving along with a new and there's an additional temper
I'll mute that here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe some, do you have a number?
About 8, Dan.
8?
And just as a note, very difficult to use, especially in the winter.
for not to have it at grade rather than pit.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
That was my thought too.
It
yeah.
Really is something that's gonna,
yeah, I agree. Rather than it collects water and gets icy and yeah. So the, you know, the cargo handling facility, does provide less number, and those trucks actually don't look to scale, so I'm not sure that that's right. Now that I look at it, they're 2 or 3 times bigger than they should be. So I think there's more loading than is shown by those trucks, but we'll look at that. Yeah, just noticed that. So we'll, that's why we're trying to get input on this, is to understand the needs. We do have to balance, you know, the traffic pattern and traffic flow is one consideration we want to make sure is well planned, as well as the setback. You know, I think right now you probably wouldn't be allowed as being that close to the road as the existing one. So we're dealing with a little bit less usable space than there originally was. So other utilities that we started with fuel, then got a little bit not sidetracked, but went off in a different direction. So we're envisioning water potentially to be provided, sewer service potentially, and electrical service. And you know, the electrical, especially, you know, the larger container ships may or may not desire to have electrical, but some of the other vessels may, catcher processors or trampers. And so that's something we'd like input for, is the need for that, as well as we'll need to balance that with the city's ability to provide that power if there's large spikes of power that'll have to be balanced. So if anyone has input on that.
Are you going to rework?
Which area are you talking about?
The ones that
it's like there's some fuel lines along the dock face here, right there. Yeah, those, I think, and
they're like, that stuff's just majorly in the way.
Having the fuel headers in the vault is the comment.
Yeah,
is that right?
Not exposed.
Yeah.
Is there a survey to find out how many kilowatts or 50?
Not yet.
It's
so that'll
not,
be
it's
yeah.
Just a small city.
Right. Yeah. So that'll be input we'll be looking for. Is that something that they desire to plug in or just have their own, and can it even be provided? I know there's concerns, you know, environmental concerns with their emissions, and so that's something that they might be interested in, even though it's a, you know, would impact the city system. But if it allows them to shut their generators down, there might be some benefits, assuming that could all be, the details be worked out. But it's something we're exploring.
Well, we're very ambitious to make energy too, aren't we?
Yeah, but the controls, the environmental controls on the exhaust are more stringent and more easily by the city than they are by vessel, and there are different requirements also. So, something for consideration. Yeah, we definitely are. The thinking is that we could definitely have removable bull rail in sections, and that this part of the dock here would likely serve more barges like the Coast Guard dock does, and would probably be suited more for that, and we could have removable bull rail sections. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah, to catch the lip of the ramp. Mm-hmm. Well, you're what you're talking about there. The bull rail, I can't remember what we have at the Coast Guard, but Coast Guard dock, the exact configuration, but a lot of them are removable by forklift, and they drop down into the pockets. That style work well. Okay. Yeah, we don't want to unbolt them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Have removable rail on this section too, possibly? Okay. Okay.
Continually run that. We get vessels flagged from all over the world, and some of them burn I got a question for you. You may not know it. You well understand, as a crane, the back of the crane comes right about here. In the event of having a 100-gauge crane, here we are, we're getting crowded in on the road with a 100-gauge crane. How far does the structure on the new 100-gauge cranes be an issue with skip cranes and other traffic that might be coming down to?
Yeah. see on the poster there or behind here. Let me just move forward. I think it's this one here. So this section is of what a 100-foot crane could look like, and you can get different configurations of how far in the back reach you want to be able to set containers.
This is signified by the light line.
Yeah, and actually what's shown in the heavy line is more than the minimum. I think the minimum that it hangs back is, I can't remember exactly, but enough to do like maybe 3 or 4 containers. This is a little bit more than that, but they can go back quite a big distance if you wanted to. What we've shown in this section is where the Ballyhoo Road, which is shown right here, is the closest to the dock face, which is right at right about at latitude 54 there. So it's right at the end of the crane rail system. Would be potentially.
Balls from the crane and
definitely. You could.
Actually, believe it or not, that is an issue with icing.
Dropping.
Years ago, watched it because we work around of it and we're aware of it, but it's extended out over the road.
Right, the public road.
Over the public, then they're going to. Sun comes up and heats the crane up and it slides off the crane.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the considerations. The extended back reach operation would probably be useful in this area where you wouldn't be overhanging the road, but if the crane was operating in this area, then it definitely could be. Well, position 3 is along right at the dock face. It's 390 feet. Yeah, it is.
Okay, so the 390 is actual face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well, I'll double check it. I'll double check it, but I'm pretty sure.
Now you got the bridge, the dock, and you got another, catwalk over here.
Yes. Yeah, the crane itself is not envisioned to be part of the project, and that would be provided by the. That's part of what we're working on now, and those would have to be relocated within the project area. Well, I think that's what this meeting's about, is getting input on that, is the desire to stick with 50-foot crane rails or move to 100-foot crane rails, or maybe keep the 50-foot crane rails for now and in the future, or maybe build the 100-foot crane rails but don't get the crane yet. Those are the considerations. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, sure. The crane rails, as you can probably imagine, need to be flat and level. And in the back reach area, currently from the existing crane rail, the drainage, the water slopes back towards the road, and there are catch basins you know, in several places along along here, and that water is collected. So if we know we're going to put in, or if we don't put in the 100-foot crane rail and develop the drainage, and the plan is to pave this back area, at least that's what's envisioned now, to pave that and not have it as gravel. And then in the future, say, whenever that is, 10 years, you do want to add the 100-foot crane rail, you'd have to redo more of the back reach, because you'll have to change the grading and the drainage, and it'd be a pop off that you'd have to redo some of this back reach if that wasn't part of the original plan. If we consider that that might be a likely option, we could probably develop a drainage area separate in between here in this area, where this area drains laterally. Instead of draining this area all back towards the road, it could drain laterally, and you still would have a high area that you could later put a crane rail in, or maybe we put the crane rail in now but don't get the crane. So those are some of the decisions that we need to make early in the process so that we can adapt to what we want in the future. Yeah. Yeah. The crane rail at the front of the dock would be used by the new crane, and instead of, you know, currently the crane uses this rail, and then there's one right at that orange and gray line. And so you would reuse the front one, and the back rail would be this new rail. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah,
yeah. The new crane can use the front rails. Yeah. So if you put in the 100-foot rail now, but don't get the crane, you can just drive over that with the top picks and, you know,
yeah,
like you do with the crane now. Yeah. You're saying we would just continue using the 50-foot crane until some date in the future, and then maybe get 100-foot. That's an option.
Like I have over at the APL dock and worked on that dock. City to adopt that. And I understand that there's backreach to do it. But what happens here with these drain areas is a crane. As a truck comes down the dock, this is what you get. So depending on what cell you're working on the vessel, hatch, bay, truck driver might have it at the top end of the drain area or at the bottom end of the drain area. It's never the same. And so you're constantly adjusting the crane for, you know, the bar with the trim list and skew to adjust for that. And of course, the adjustments are there. But it would really be nice to have a single, and I don't know what the grade is. Actually, the crane that's there now was, I don't know if you've been out there, you see that it leans to the back. It was made for out in LA, it was made for a dock that it was on.
The dock has a slope.
Yeah, no drain areas. Bad idea. It that whole freeze and thaw, and it, well, just go down there.
Crane rail itself is can be a barrier to if we ice at the crane rail if you're trying to drain over the crane rail. French drain where you don't have
I knew that. We know what a wood burner is.
Part of, you know, since we're, you know, remodeling, we're kind of stuck with, you know, the crane rail elevations that we have now, unless we are going to put in a new back crane rail, and we could put that at a different elevation and redo, you know, the slopes of the remaining existing dock face, but that wasn't, depending on what, we won't be able to change the front rail because we'll need to match in the back rail for sure. If we're doing a new one, we could do something like that.
What is the difference on the 100 gauge crane? For
I think you can get it for, you know, they make it to whatever your pocket is.
Specification.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll complicate things for sure. You know, typically on a concrete dock face, we'll have a 1% slope, say draining towards the water, so that'll get it on 100 feet. It gets kind of stuck in the shallow area before it gets to the. There is, we, you know, a separate project, you know, we can lift the slabs up by injecting grout and get those back fully supported. Depends on the operations of the dock, you know, back in the day, we'd have to look into the details on that. On a lot of docks now, you do have to capture it and run it through an oil water separator first. It depends on your operations. Hopefully that'll be significantly improving with the pavement.
Hey, this is Marion Davis from the Redlands. Just to comment on the cranes, you can get a 50 gauge crane that will do that work. If you go with a 100 gauge crane, are we sure that the waterside crane rope can support the weight?
Yeah, that's one of the things.
You can have a 50 gauge crane built that you can order whatever you want, as somebody just indicated. So that's all possible. Another reason for 100 gauge cranes are a lot of ports are huge ports. So they might have 6, 8, 10 lanes of trucks underneath the crane. Therefore, you need the room underneath. Dutch will never have that. So a 50 grit stain frame should be sufficient no matter what you do.
Okay, yeah, that's good input. We have done some look, some investigation into the 100 foot gauge crane utilizing the existing front rail, and the initial feedback is basically they put additional trucks, additional wheels on that front part of the crane to spread the load out further. Yeah, make it wider basically. But that's part of the design process we're working on now. But that's good input on the you know, the need for the 100 foot gauge to fit more trucks underneath that might not be might not just be a reach issue.
That's why you see it in most of the large ports, because they want 8-10 lanes of traffic under there. You would ever get in Dutch Harbor, maybe would be 2 lanes. So it'd be really no need for 100 feet. The other thing you have to consider, once you start lifting that box, you're going to have more weight on that front crane rail. Pick up that box, that weight's going to be on that front crane rail. So, assuming you folks are looking at all that.
Yeah, that's part of what we're working on now in our initial investigation. Is that they?
How would a new crane be powered?
That's not really part of the scope of what we're looking at. We're looking at, you know, the providing electrical power to the possibly to the vessels, but the crane itself would not be part of what the city part of the project. So that could be certainly investigated, whether it be diesel or electric.
Because if it was electric, you would have to put that in the design now versus tear up the dock later to add a cable.
Yes, do you have input on what would be preferred?
Well, if you put a bus bar up, you ever hit that thing and knock it down, you're out of business. So that would be a cable wheel system, that way you get away from generators, but then you're going to have to heat that too. So it's going to have heat trace in it. You know?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know, does the city have additional electricity? I mean, because we kind of struggled with that when we put in reefer plugs in the Horizon yard. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the major considerations, is can that quantity of power be provided reliably without affecting the other power users in the powerhouse?
Right. These new cranes are like 12,500 volts. So the utility would have to furnish that. And also, when the box is being lowered, it's making electricity, so you're going to have a flywheel system in there to absorb that energy.
So as it lowers the container, it feeds the power back into the power grid, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, when you're lifting, it's using power. When you're lowering, it is generating power, and you have to have a way to store that, or cushion the blow back into the city system. Otherwise, you know, when APL put their second crane there, they had issues with electricity for quite a while, if I recall. So, some type of flywheel system to store that energy. It could be reused, or you can feed that into the yard, but you can't just hook it up to the electrical service there in town and think everything's going to be fine, because it won't be.
Yeah. Are those...